for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Delivered Service, April 10th, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on spiritual nakedness.
Well, I want to share on spiritual nakedness. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, to cause the eyes of every heart to be enlightened. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to cover our nakedness. Father, every place that's sticking out, we ask you to cover us. And we bless you and praise you. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus as Lord. We bind tiredness, weariness, heaviness, fatigue. And Lord, I thank you that when we're weak, we're strong. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost their covering. And when Christ died on the cross, he died to give us back what we lost in the garden. The Bible says, hatred stirs strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. And of course, when we love God with our whole heart, that's a covering. But people who would never think of wearing improper or insufficiently dressed would think nothing of, they leave their soul without a stitch on them. And even though we're dressed up in physical clothes, we could be spiritually naked. If physical, the Bible says that this is a shameful condition, just like physical nakedness is shameful, then spiritual nakedness is shameful. Nakedness has always stood as a symbol of shame. 2 Samuel 10:4 and Isaiah 20:4. If physical naked is a shame, then we should be really embarrassed about being spiritually naked. And most of us could be spiritually naked and not even know it. God is showing others that they are spiritually naked. Lord, strengthen me. Praise you, Lord. Strengthen me. I bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we pray for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, miracles, healing, cures, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all your gifts. We receive them by faith. And Lord, when we're weak, we're strong. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And Lord, I have no strength of my own right now. And I bless you for your strength. Praise you, Lord. The Laodicean church thought they were covered. Go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation 3:14. Even turning my Bible the wrong direction. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Verse 12. Well, no, that's Jude. That's not Revelation. Praise you, Lord. Yes. 3:14. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God says this, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, meaning in the Greek, I'm absolutely abounding in Christian virtue and eternal possessions, and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. That's gold that's been buried in the ground and you have to dig it out. That you may be rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself with. And that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes. And that means to smear over. To put a poultice on a person's eyes. And so, Lord, we ask you to smear over our eyes with eye salve, that you may see, and how we buy from him gold refined by fire and white raiment to clothe ourselves with, and eye salve to anoint our eyes, is through giving up our life, denying ourselves, and taking up our cross and following him. That's how we do it. And so we need spiritual clothes. The nakedness in this passage is not a physical nakedness, but it's a spiritual nakedness. And the only way one can clothe his soul is by righteousness. This righteousness involves purity of character, white raiment as Jesus used it, love for the Lord, and complete submissiveness to his will. And Jesus said to John concerning his baptism in Matthew 3:15, "But Jesus answered, saying to him, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus was totally submissive to the will of God. Now, I want us to look at some of the causes of spiritual nakedness. But first, I want to say what we need to be clothed with. In Galatians 3:27, we need to be clothed with Christ. It says, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." And that can only come through knowing Jesus, not with your head, but to be born again. Leonard Ravenhill says 98% of the people in the church are lost. Howard Pittman says 90%. And I think it's close. And there's many people that have been believing Jesus with their head, but that have never been born again in their heart. And that only comes when we deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. We cannot have salvation without denying ourselves. It's a walk of death. It begins when we receive Jesus, and then we walk it out. You know, if you've been born again, you can't explain it. If you tried to explain born again to somebody, you can't really explain it. If you've been born again, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't been born again, you think, well, you know, I don't really understand what she's saying. So if you've never been born again, or you really don't understand what that means, you really can't explain it. But if you don't understand it, then you need to be born again. If we receive Jesus and we never are willing to deny ourselves, give up our life, there's no salvation. And that's where most of the church is. They believe in Jesus with their head, but they've never been born again. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know, I accepted the Lord in 1985, when I was 18 years old, 1958, at a Billy Graham crusade. And I kept cussing and telling dirty jokes and smoking. And my life never changed. But then 5 years later, my sister was going through a divorce, and I was looking for answers to her problems, and I knew the answer was in God's Word. So I started reading the Bible. And so when I got to the scripture, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature," I thought, that's what's happened to me. I've been born again. And 2 weeks later, I was in the kitchen, and a curse word came out of my mouth, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, that doesn't sound like anything that should come out of a Christian's mouth." And that day, 47 years ago, God delivered me from profanity. Just when I just confessed my sins, he just took it out of my heart. And so, we need to be clothed with Christ. The next thing you need to be clothed with is holy attire. 2 Chronicles 20:21 says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting.'" And then we need choice attire. And that's found in 1 Samuel 23:18. Speaking of the harlot, and that's not 1 Samuel, that's Isaiah. My computer prints out 1 Samuel and Isaiah looks the same to me. It's 23:18. Speaking of a harlot, "And her gain and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord." So dwelling in the presence of the Lord gives me choice attire. And if I want his presence, then I have to be yielded to him. And of course, the Bible says that when I'm giving thanks to him, that God inhabits my praises. And Lord, I ask you to anoint these words, that they won't just be a bunch of words, in Jesus' name. And then we need holy attire, and that's found in Psalms 96:9. "Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth." We need bridal attire. Jeremiah 2:32. When we get through, we're going to ask God to put all this on us. Amen? That'll be good. Bridal attire, Jeremiah 2:32 says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." And then we need white robes and white garments. And that's found in Revelation 7:9. It says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'These are clothed in the white robes. Who are they, and from where have they come?' And I said to him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Revelation 3:5 says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I'll confess his name before my Father and before the angels." You see, the promises of God are to the overcomer. That means all of us have got stuff in our lives that's got to go. And so it's a process. God doesn't show us everything at once. We couldn't take it, but it's a process of overcoming. Amen? And, you know, some of you that grew up performance-oriented or thinking that you were only loved when you performed, when you hear words like this, you think, "Dear God, you know, God's going to say, 'Chunk me, I'm too bad.'" But God looks on your heart. And I like to illustrate that this way. When my little granddaughter Kylie, that I love so much, that's now 22 and getting ready to get married, but when she was just learning to walk, I mean, she'd take a few steps and that little tooth, she'd be smiling, and she'd fall down, and then she'd get up, and then she'd take a few more steps, and she'd fall down. And I just looked at that little heart. I got to get to my grandmother. I didn't run over and kick her and say, "You stupid kid, you fell down. You see, God doesn't look at your stumbles. He looks at your heart that wants to get to Him. Because He knows when you get to Him, He'll take care of it. Amen? And so don't think this is legalism or this is a thing, but we all have things that we have to overcome. God wants us to be clothed with a wedding clothes. Matthew 22. If you'll go there, please, in Matthew 22:1. "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, Tell those who've been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his farm, another to his business." And you can put Luke 14 there, where in Luke it says, "In one said, I have to marry a wife." So the Lord doesn't want anything to take preeminence over our relationship with Him. But they paid no attention. They all went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both good and evil. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over his dinner guests, he said that he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in there without wedding clothes?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, to that place where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few chosen.' In Numbers chapter 5, if a man thought his wife was committing physical adultery, he would take her to the priest, and the priest would take some dirt off the temple floor, mix it with water, and make a water of bitterness, and he would make her drink it. If she was guilty, her stomach would swell and her thigh would waste away. Now that was the punishment for a woman who, and she would be filled with bitterness and she would be barren. That's also a curse. And spiritual, and so that's a physical prostitute or a physical harlot. Go to Ezekiel, please, and I want you to see why a person loses their wedding clothes in Ezekiel 16. You know, when we pray a prayer to receive Jesus to be his holy bride, men and women, and our hearts go after another lover, or there's something that we love more than we love Jesus, then we're spiritual harlots and spiritual adulterers. In verse 16, starting with verse 30, "How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord God, while you do all these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot." Now it's talking about a spiritual harlot or a spiritual adulterer, just like the story in Numbers chapter 5, speaking of a woman caught in physical adultery. Now Jesus is talking about spiritual adultery. And he says, when you build your shrine at the beginning of every street, well, let me back up. In verse 30, "How languishing is your heart, declares the Lord God, while you do these things, the actions of a bold-faced harlot. When you built your shrine at the beginning of every street and made your high places in every square, in disdaining money, you were not like harlot, not like a harlot." In other words, you're not like a physical harlot. A spiritual harlot is different because a physical harlot gets paid for what she does, but a spiritual harlot, we pay our lovers. When we commit spiritual adultery, we change our plans, we cater to that person, we want that person to love us, we love that person more than we love Jesus, and we cater and compromise, and we pay our lovers, and it costs us. Carla said something yesterday that God told her to quit being nice to the devil. Amen? And so we pay our lovers when we're nice to the devil. It says, "You adulterous wife." Now it's speaking about spiritual adultery, the bride of Christ, "who takes strangers instead of her husband, Christ. Men give gifts to harlots, but you give your gifts to all your lovers to bribe them to come to you from every direction for your harlotries." I made an idol out of my daughter-in-law. I mean, I would change my schedule. I would cook for her. I would babysit for her. I just wanted, because when I was a little girl, I was laying on the floor and my mother and my grandmother were talking and they didn't like each other. My daddy's mother and my mother did not like each other. And my grandmother, who believed, she had 9 sons, so my daddy said if you didn't do what she said the first time, she'd take a broom handle to your head. Anyway, she said to me, "Your mother does not love you." I said, "Yes, she does." She said, "If she loved you, she'd make you mind." And see, if you have children, you need to discipline them, because when you discipline them, God won't have to do as much. Right, but God will break you if you've never been broken. And my mother was an enabling mother, bless her heart. She hit me with a clothes hanger one time. It made me so mad. You see, if you just go, that doesn't get the job done. God tells you to use a rod. Amen? The rod of discipline. It says that the rod of discipline will drive the devil out of your kids. If not, you'll have all kinds of problems. Okay, verse 35, well, verse 34. "Thus you're different from those women, those physical prostitutes, in your harlotries, in that no one plays the harlot as you do, because you give money, and no money is given to you. Thus you're different." So it's talking about a spiritual harlot. Verse 35, "Therefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord." Verse 38, "Thus I shall judge you like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged, and I shall bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy." And you can circle "judge you" and put see Numbers 5, 11 through 30, speaking of physical adultery. And so this is what God says. When you're into spiritual adultery, he says, "I'm going to judge you like women who commit adultery," which is your stomach swells, your thigh wastes away, you're turned over to bitterness and barrenness. Now, you can be under that curse and still have children, but that's one of the spiritual roots too, and it could be a generational thing. Thus I shall judge you like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged, and I'll bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I shall also give you into the hands of your lovers, and they'll tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, take away your jewels, and leave you naked and bare. They will incite a crowd against you, and they will stone you and cut you to pieces with their swords. And they will burn your houses with fire and execute judgments on you in the sight of many women. Then I'm going to stop you from playing the harlot, declares the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, when it talks about cities, the Bible says that we're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. When Jesus told the disciples, He said, He's the light of the world, but He said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. For a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So there, it's a type and shadow that we're a city. And burn your houses with fire. There are so many meetings where you go and they'll say, fire, fire, fire. And in many of those meetings, it's fire, it's to the fire god Molech. And so you better be careful. Don't let anybody put you through a fire tunnel or anything like that, because there's a God is a consuming fire, but there's also Molech is the fire god and Baal. And much of that is from Baal worship perpetrated by these prophets of Baal. A flame of God, tongues of fire. Yeah, well, we'll take anything like that. But most of what's going on out there is not that, because there's no repentance, there's no holiness, and there's no word. The Bible says the teaching of the wise is a tree of life that one may avoid the snares of death. So if you're sitting under teaching that's not turning you away from the snares of death, which most of those places are, they don't even mention repentance. I mean, they might mention it one time in 9,000 words. Many of them are into Kabbalah and are Knights of Malta, and I could name them, but I'm not going to do that. But many of them, if you check their background, they're Knights of Malta, and their allegiance is to the Catholic Church, which is one world religion that ties in with one world government. Okay, so you see, one way you lose your clothing is through spiritual adultery and spiritual harlotry. Because when you go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you don't want the Lord to tell you that you have no wedding clothes on. And if you live a life of spiritual adultery, you will not have wedding clothes. We've all sinned, we've all made mistakes, but we've got to stop it. We've got to overcome those things that are holding us back. And then you need to be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." You see, we're to prefer one another and esteem each other better than ourselves. And then we need to be clothed with readiness. Luke 12:35, it says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight." You know the unwise virgins in Matthew 25, how their lamps were going out? They had no oil for their lamp. Acts chapter 5 says that He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. And then we need to be dressed in eminence and dignity. Hallelujah. Job 40 verse 10 says, "Adorn yourself with eminence and dignity and clothe yourself with honor and majesty." Those are good clothes, aren't they? Hallelujah. And you know what? You can't see this with the physical eye. I mean, you can sense when somebody has an anointing on them, but you can't see what they're dressed in. But can I tell you, the powers of darkness can see? The demons can see what we're clothed with. And it says in Deuteronomy 32, the enemy himself knows this, and he judges this. It says, "For their vine is from the vine of Sodom," the wrong vine. If you're from the true vine, your life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. If you're from the vine of Sodom, your life will produce the fruit of the flesh. And if you'll go to Galatians 5:19, and let me read the fruit of the flesh. It says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. We can be drunk with food drunkenness. We can be drunk with alcohol drunkenness, drug drunkenness, illegal drugs, legal drugs, and we can be drunk because of spiritual adultery. Don't take my word for it. You just look up the word for, look up harlot, look up wine, look up the cup of the wine of God's wrath. You'll see he gives a spirit of drunkenness to those who are spiritual adulterers. In fact, if God says no murder, liar, thief, adulterer, fornicator, reviler, slanderer, unless he repents, will enter the kingdom of heaven, how can some people call some people who, one of the ministers that everybody thought was so powerful had a drinking problem, and he was shacking up with his staff member, and people are still saying, but he was anointed. If God says no murder, liar, thief, adulterer, fornicator, reviler, slanderer will enter the kingdom of heaven, God says they're lost, how can we call them anointed? They're anointed all right, but not by the Holy Spirit. And I liked what Brother Oliver said last night. There's a lack of discernment in the church. Idolatry blocks your understanding. Ezekiel 14 says, when we have idols, we put before our faces the stumbling block of our iniquity. And I like what Brother Oliver said. If you don't have discernment, you don't have any of the gifts. And so if you've got these gifts, where are they coming from? They're not coming from the Holy Spirit. They're coming from the unholy spirit. Amen? Satan gives gifts too. In fact, he works signs and wonders so powerfully that it deceives, if possible, the very elect. And so be on guard. Not everything out there that looks like they're claiming to be revival is revival. Look who it's pointing to. If it's pointing to a man, our friend Milton Green used to say, look who it's pointing to. If it points to I, me, my, and glorifies self, it's not of the Lord. So we need fine linen. We need to be clothed with fine linen. Revelation 19:8 says, and it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Hallelujah. We need to be clothed with eminence and dignity. Job 40:10 says, adorn yourself with eminence and dignity and clothe yourself with honor and majesty. And then we need to be clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. If you do a word study on drunk, drunken, sober, alert, you'll see there's not one scripture that validates spiritual drunkenness. In fact, it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means gulp down, drink down, and swallow up. And there's only one, they use the scripture in Acts where they thought the disciples were drunk, and that's the only scripture that they use. And if God wants to do that to me, fine, but I'm stupid enough sober, right? And when you just can't stand up, I break the curse, I'm stupid. I break the curse, we're stupid. We need to be seeking for good sense, right? Be sober. Honey, you cannot get glory from going to a meeting. You cannot get glory from letting somebody lay hands on you in a meeting. It could be occultic. The only time glory comes is as we let God purify our hearts, He puts more glory on us. That's the only way we can have glory. No man can give you glory. No man can give you glory or something that he don't have. It's not imparted. It's some... No. I mean, you might when you're getting delivered, because listen to this scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. If I'm out of control, guess what? It's not the Holy Spirit. Okay, I need to be clothed with righteousness. Psalms 132:9. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy godly one sing for joy. Hallelujah. Clothed with power. Luke 24:49. Clothed with righteousness, Psalms 132:9. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy godly one sing for joy. You know, this is God's word, not my word. Amen? My word means nothing but His word. And let me tell you something. Stay away from wordless meetings. Stay away from meetings that leave out repentance. Stay away from meetings that are glorifying some man. We need to be clothed with scarlet and purple. Proverbs 31 talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. Well, men are women too. Did you know that? Because men are going to be the bride of Christ too. But in this Proverbs 31 woman says she's not afraid of the snow of her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Ezekiel 23:6, who were clothed in purple, governors and officials, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding horses. And then this is the future, but we need to be clothed with our dwelling from on high. 2 Corinthians 5:2. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. Hallelujah. For indeed, while we're in this tent, now this is your tent or your carton. You know, this is a girl carton, but the Spirit of God is the teacher. Amen. For indeed, while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. We need to be clothed with salvation. Psalms 132:16 says, her priests also I will clothe with salvation, and her godly ones will sing aloud for joy. You know what? If we're not singing aloud for joy, something's wrong. I mean, I look at my life. I haven't been singing for joy. But I tell you, I'm getting more joyful now than I've been repenting. Okay, we need to be clothed with embroidered cloth. Ezekiel 16:10. I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet, and I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. Hallelujah. And then we need to be clothed with beautiful garments. Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in your strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, that's you. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. So ministers that are supposed to be anointed, that are shacking up, committing adultery, having drinking problems, God says that for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Now, all of us have done some of these things, but we need to overcome these things. Amen? And God looks on the heart, and man looks on the outward appearance. Okay, some negative things that people are clothed with is rags. Proverbs 23:21. It says, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Because, see, when I'm drowsy, I'm not diligent. Is that right? And you see how alcohol and gluttony are tied in together. You know, I have been drunk on food so many times in my life. I feel better when I don't eat as much. I tell you, I wouldn't be standing here all day if I'd eaten today. I mean, I'd already been in there taking a nap. I did take a little nap, about 15 minutes, but 15 minutes was enough. I mean, I've eaten so much before that, I mean, I'd need a 3-hour nap. But now I just need a little power nap. Amen? And then people are clothed with trembling. If you got a trembling spirit. Trembling is a curse. Ezekiel 26:16. Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones, remove their robes, strip off their embroidered garments. They'll clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground, tremble every moment, and be appalled at you. And then people are clothed with foreign garments, another negative thing. Zephaniah 1:8 says, go, if you will, to Zephaniah 1:8, please. 1:8 says, well, let's start with 4. So I'll stretch out my hand against Judah, that's the type of the church, and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I'll cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the names of the idolatrous priests, along with the priest, and those who bow down on the housetops to the host of heaven, and to those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom. In other words, Milcom means shame, these people are swearing to the Lord on one hand and they're swearing to a false god on the other. And those who bow down on the housetops to the host of heaven and those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom. And those who have turned back from following the Lord and those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of Him. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated His guest. Then I will come on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes, the king's son, and all who clothe themselves with foreign garments. So there's foreign garments. And there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, and then there's another supper where the vultures or the demons eat the flesh of the harlot. My friend Milton Green used to say, you can either eat with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb, or you can get ate at the other supper. And if anybody has a problem with that, let me know, and I'll try to look up some scriptures because I don't have them here with me. Okay, we can be clothed. Another negative thing to be clothed with is the attire of the harlot. Proverbs 7:10 says, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Physical harlots and spiritual harlots. We can be clothed with filthy garments or festal robes. We can take our choice. Zechariah 3:4, and he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. Again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with festal garments. You see, the more we seek God, the more we repent, the brighter the glory. Like the scripture I used in the last session in Matthew 6, if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. That's the glory. And the more you repent, the more God takes out the darkness and puts in the light, and the more you shine for Him. Another negative thing to be clothed with is humiliation and shame. Psalms 35:26, let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my distress. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves against me. When anyone magnifies himself against you to attack you, God says, let them be clothed with humiliation and distress. Psalms 132:18, his enemies, God's enemies, are clothed with shame, but upon himself his crown shall shine. In Psalms 81:15, it says, those who hate the Lord. Those who hate the Lord pretend obedience. Psalms 83 says, those who exalt themselves hate the Lord. And then in Proverbs says, those who are perverse hate the Lord. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? And so if you don't love him, you hate him. And then you can be clothed with worms. Job 7:5. My flesh is clothed with worms and a crust of dirt. My skin hardens and runs. You can be clothed with cursing. Go to Psalms 109, please. I think we prayed this in the prayer meeting for someone, and without doing the whole, reading the whole thing in Psalms 109, and I think we've all been guilty of this. Psalms 109. It says, oh my God, oh God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me, and I've done it too. Forgive me, Lord, and I forgive those who've done that. Y'all agree? They've spoken against me with a lying tongue. God, forgive me for speaking against anyone with a lying tongue, and I forgive anyone who spoke to me with a lying tongue. They have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. Lord, I forgive those who've surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. Now, this is how you repent over the word. And Lord, forgive me for doing that. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. God, I forgive those who've accused me when I've tried to love them. And Lord, forgive me for accusing others who've tried to love me. It says, but I'm in prayer. Lord, forgive me for not praying for them. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Lord, forgive me for repaying others evil for good and hatred for love. And I forgive those who've repaid my good for evil and hatred for my love. Appoint a wicked man over him. Now this could be something that's come down generationally. And let an accuser stand at his right hand. It's like a demon's always up here accusing, all the ways. And if that's going on in your life, you need to get rid of that today. It says, when he's judged, let him come forth guilty. So this accuser always makes me guilty. No matter what, I'm always guilty. And I tell him to get off my shoulder too, in Jesus' name. When he is judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless. You see how this has happened to us in generations? Children are fatherless. Another take your office. Days be few, short life. His wife a widow. His children wander about and beg and seek sustenance far from their ruined homes. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let a stranger plunder the product of his labor. Let there be none to extend loving kindness to him. No, nobody has mercy for me. Nor any to be gracious to his fatherless children. Let his prosperity, that's his descendants, be cut off in a following generation. Let their name be blotted out. Let their iniquity of their fathers be remembered before the Lord. And do not let the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off their members, their memory from the earth, because he did not remember to show loving kindness, but persecuted the afflicted and needy man and the despondent of heart to put him to death. Have you ever done that to anybody? Has anybody ever done that to you? You need to forgive him and ask God to forgive you. It means to slay the broken in heart and the despondent of heart to put them to death. Death and life are the power of the tongue. He also loved cursing, and it came to him. How much have we loved speaking evil, and how much we've loved? I mean, that's something I've repented over. Something that just keeps pressing us to say the wrong thing. God wants us to overcome that. I'm trying to overcome that in my life. It's better, but it's not gone. I want it to be completely gone. I want to see people with God's eyes. He loved cursing. In other words, loved to criticize, loved to judge others, loved to speak words of death. Just love it. Forgive us, Lord. Loved cursing, so it came to him. And he did not delight in blessing, so it was far from him. But he clothed himself with cursing. It means one accursed, vilification, to be of little account, to be despised or contemned. But he clothed himself with cursing as with a garment, and it entered him into his body like water and oil into his bones. There's acid reflux. The word water there is poison, the root of bitterness. And like oil into his bones, let it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself. You know, I've cursed myself more than I've ever cursed others. Constantly. And it applies both ways. This was a scripture that I repented of years ago for the indigestion problems. I remember in 8 years ago, I called Henry Wright's ministry. I was having indigestion so bad. And I talked to Anita, his assistant, and I said, do you have any insights into indigestion? I said, I know it's there's bitterness somewhere because what I'm belching up is bitter. And I said, but I don't know of anybody I haven't forgiven or anybody I'm bitter toward. And she said, what about yourself? I said, that's it. And with that is an unloving spirit, which is a demon that nitpicks you. It's self-hatred, self-bitterness, self-rejection, self-contempt, self-hatred. And it's a little voice in you that's always nitpicking you. And you leave it there because you think it's you talking to you. Are y'all relating to what I'm saying? Do you hear a voice that nitpicks you all the time and you think it's you talking to you? It's a demon. And God wants it out. And when I realized that that was a demon talking to me and not me talking to me, that thing's been gone. And I cannot tell you how many years and how nice it is not to have that voice always talking to me. And you can be free today if you get rid of it. Well, Yeah, it would apply any kind of indigestion. You see your bowels too, heart, same thing. Or even belching a little bit with a little water like that sphincter muscle. You know, it doesn't close like it's supposed to. I mean, until God delivered me from indigestion, if I ate a big lunch and drank a big glass of water, oh my goodness, I'd have indigestion all day. I couldn't do that. Now I can do that. I drink a glass of water after I eat because that aids in your digestion after you get healed. Praise God. The scripture that I'm the unloving spirit, well, any scriptures on bitterness. And this is Psalms 109. Yeah, it says clothed with cursing. Cursing goes down in your, it enters you, this cursing, a spirit of cursing enters you, enters your bowels like water, a root of bitterness, and enters your body like oil to the bones. Let it be to him as a garment with which he covers himself and for a belt which he constantly girds himself. See, there's one of the roots to back pain right there. Let this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord and of those who speak evil of my soul. And if I've done, this is the reward for my accusers, but if I'm the accuser, it's my reward. And it goes both ways here. But thou, O Lord, deal kindly with me for thy name's sake, because thy loving kindness is good. Deliver me. Hallelujah. So you can be clothed with cursing as a garment. You can be clothed with horror. Ezekiel 7:27 says, the king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with horror, and the hands of the people in the land will tremble. You know, you see people with trembling hands. I'm not talking about these revival meetings that cause you to tremble and it's false. I want to say this too. I mean, if you go someplace and you go to some of these places and somebody's arm is flying up, say, what happened? Oh, well, I my arm's been flying up since a sister ministered to me. What she did was impart a demon to you. Or you see people in these so-called revival meetings where their leg is going like this or some kind of weird little jerks thing. What if I'm witnessing to a lost person and I say, hey, how would you like Jesus? He makes a freak out of you. Right? God doesn't make freaks out of his kids. Wake up, church. Lord, wake me up. Wake us up. Who would want that? No. It's not a very good evangelism tool. You can be clothed with dishonor. Psalms 109:29, let my accusers be clothed with dishonor and let them cover themselves with their own shame as with a robe. Okay, we've heard about the good things we need to be covered with, and you heard the bad things that we have been covered with, and that's working in some of us right now. Okay, the causes of spiritual nakedness. Number one is demon possession, and you know the Gadarene demoniac. He was running around naked in the physical, and when Jesus saved him, he clothed him, and he was in his right mind. And then God allowed Satan to attack Job. And Job said, naked is Sheol before him, and Abaddon has no covering. And then spiritual adultery, we just read that'll cause you to lose your clothes. And then Revelation 17:16 says, the beast makes the harlot naked and eats her flesh and burns her with fire. I like that scripture. I mean, the beast is making war against the harlot. And I know we're going to go through things, but, you know, here it says the harlot's going to get eaten by the beast. These will hate the harlot and make her desolate and naked. And, you know, when Howard Pittman says 90% of church members are lost, and Leonard Ravenhill said 98% of church members are lost, these church members that profess Jesus and they're not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, they're walking in the flesh, they're walking in sin because they're not taught to repent, and they're walking in the flesh, and those are the ones, the church members, that are hypocrites, and they don't even know it because they're living just like the world. God says the beast is going to make war with her and eat her flesh, and that is the supper that's not the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then sexual sin, go to Leviticus 18, please. If you do a word study on sexual sin and the wrath of God, you'll see that sexual sin and idolatry are the things that make God the maddest. Where did I say go? Leviticus 18:17. And if you've done any of these things, or in fact, you just need to be repenting as I name them, because if you haven't done it, your forefathers have. And if there's been perversion in your life, you know that that's been generational thing. It says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughters, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, that her they are her blood relatives. It's lewdness. If you have sex, or if a family member or anybody in your bloodline even touches you in a inappropriate way, that's incest. That's spiritual incest if they just wanted to. Because Jesus said if you just lust in your heart, you've committed murder. Is that right? Adultery. If you're angry in your heart, you've committed murder. If you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. And you shall not marry a woman in addition to her sister as a rival while she's alive to undercover her nakedness. And you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual purity. And you shall not, in other words, you're not to have sex during your menstrual period. And you shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Neither shall you give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. That's homosexuality. Or lesbianism is two women together. Or even how little kids play doctors and they do things they shouldn't can open you up to a homosexual lesbian spirit. Also, you shall not have intercourse with an animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. And you know, that's extreme, but if you just let an animal touch you in an inappropriate way, you've committed bestiality. Do not defile yourself by any of these things, for all of these things, the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. For the land has become defiled, therefore I have visited its punishment upon it, so the land has spewed out its inhabitants. So sexual sin, fornication, that's to have sex outside of marriage. Adultery is where you have sex with somebody that's married, or you're married and you have sex with somebody that's not. You've committed physical adultery. But when our hearts go after other lovers, we've committed spiritual adultery against the Lord. And we lose our clothes. And then disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. Deuteronomy 28:48. Therefore you shall serve your enemies because of disobedience to God and His commandments. You shall serve your enemies. And Paul said your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. You shall serve your enemies whom the Lord shall send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in the lack of all things. And He'll put an iron yoke on your neck to destroy you. Now, that's the opposite of the yoke of Jesus, which is light and easy. You give up control of your life to Jesus. He gives you His yoke. But if you're in rebellion to God, disobedience to His voice and His commandments, you get an iron yoke, which will cause you to serve your enemies, the demons, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and the lack of all things. And He'll put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. That's one of the major roots to neck problems. You don't have the yoke of Jesus on your neck. Ask God, repent of rebellion and ask God to clothe your neck, and He'll do it. Another spiritual root to it is drunkenness and making your neighbors drunk. Habakkuk 2:15. Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom, even to make them drunk so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. You can another spiritual route to losing your clothes is through being put through satanic rituals or witchcraft rituals. And also, I can just tell you, some of these meetings that are not teaching repentance or not teaching the Word of God, you can lose your spiritual clothes. The Bible says the mouth of a harlot is a deep pit, and those that fall in it don't get out of it. That's why it's so hard when people have been indoctrinated and all that, they don't want to go where they can hear repentance. The mouth of a harlot is a deep pit. If you have a repentance meeting, you won't have very many people there. But if you have a meeting where gold dust is falling and feathers are falling and people are walking around drunk and touching each other and imparting demons to each other, it's demonic. I was in a meeting in some little town outside of Austin, and a guy came up to me and he said, "Pray for me." And he wanted me praying for something else, but his arm kept going like this. I said, "What's wrong with your arm?" He said, "Oh, a sister." He said, "We were in revival, and a sister prayed for me." I said, "That wasn't the Holy Spirit." I led that boy in repentance, broke soul ties, and it stopped. You can another root is generational iniquities of the forefathers. We're born clothed with horror. We're born clothed with rags. We're born this way because of the sins of the fathers. But when we come to Jesus, glory, hallelujah, we can get all of the good stuff and get all that other stuff off. Ezekiel 23:29 said that your nakedness will be exposed. Ezekiel 23:29 says, "And they will deal with you in hatred, take all your property, leave you naked and bare, and the nakedness of your harlotries shall be uncovered. Behold, both your lewdness and your harlotries." Hosea 2:3, "Lest I strip her naked and expose her on the day when she was born, I'll also make her like a wilderness, make her like the desert land, and slay her with thirst." No, that's all right. Thank you. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to get something to eat and water and tea and won't be long. You know what? I've prayed for my weight for years and years and years. And now, God, I don't know what God's doing, but I haven't even thought about food today. Now, that is a major miracle for me. But I don't know how to pray. I have prayed every prayer you can pray. So now, when I'm driving a long way, I'll pray in tongues the whole way. And I'll say, "Lord, I pray you give me your attitudes toward food." Because I don't even know how to pray as I ought. I'll be praying, "Lord, show me the root to this eye problem." And I'll be praying in tongues. And, "Lord, give me strength." And I'll be praying, and He gives me strength. We don't even know how to pray as we ought. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you need that. I couldn't minister deliverance without the gifts of the Spirit. There's no way. And so, Nahum 3:5, God says, "Behold, I'm against you, declares the Lord, and I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace." Isaiah 47:3, "Your nakedness will be uncovered, your shame also will be exposed. I will take vengeance and will not spare man." All right, so nakedness, your nakedness is exposed. And so we've talked about physical harlots and now spiritual harlots and some things that apply to spiritual harlotry if we've committed adultery against our bridegroom Jesus. Go to Romans chapter 7, please. Verse 1. Now, everybody takes this is applied to a physical marriage, but it's really referring to our marriage with Christ. Verse 1, "Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband Christ, I'm sorry, to her husband the old man, while he is living, but if her husband the old man dies to the flesh, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then if while her husband, the old man, is living, she is joined to another man, Christ, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies and the old man dies, she shall be free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might be joined to another, to him who raised him from the dead, that you might bear fruit for God." You see, when we give up our life produces the fruit of the Spirit. And there is no law when your life is producing the fruit of the Spirit. But if your life is producing the deeds of the flesh, there is a law. Like if I drive through Hot Springs and I'm driving, the speed limit is 50 miles an hour, and I'm driving 50 miles an hour, I'm not under the laws of Hot Springs. But if I drive 51 miles or over, I come back under the laws of Hot Springs. The point I'm making is that you're not under the law till you disobey God's word. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. If you walk in the Spirit, it says in Galatians, you're not under the law. Amen? Praise you, Lord. The law is not made for a righteous man, according to 1 Timothy 1:8. The harlot, she hunts for lives, Proverbs 6:26. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. The next thing a harlot does, she multiplies her harlotries to make God angry, of Ezekiel 16. She defiles herself with idols, Ezekiel 23:30. She forgets God and casts Him behind her back, Ezekiel 23:35. She's naked and bare, Ezekiel 23:29. She's the mistress of sorceries, Nahum 3:4. And the characteristics of a harlot, if you're a spiritual harlot or physical harlot, she's cunning of heart and dresses in a seductive way. Ladies, God wants us to keep our stuff covered up because it defrauds men. She's a deep pit and a narrow well, Proverbs 23:27. For a harlot is a deep pit and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. And then her mouth is a deep pit, Proverbs 22:14. The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who's cursed of the Lord will fall into it. She's full of murder, no justice or faithfulness, Isaiah 1:21. How the faithful city has become a harlot, she who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Isaiah 23 says she'll be forgotten. Jeremiah 2:20 says she has a price. Do you have a price? Is there some price that you'd receive to renounce Christ? Do you know the powers of darkness know if you can be bought off? In ministering to people that have come out of Satanism, they've told me that they know when somebody is a fence rider. And they have the power to shoot send a curse of a heart attack toward a pastor and kill him. Or shoot another curse and burn their church down. But they're not burning down the churches where the harlots are running the church, but God's going to do it. And there's fixing to be some shaking in this world, and we better get our hearts right. God says, go, if you will, to Jeremiah 23 regarding false prophets. Jeremiah 23, the whole chapter is about false prophets, but how you can tell one. Verse 23, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, God says. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds or the pastors who are tending my people. You've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them. Behold, I'm about to attend to you for the evil of your deeds. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. Verse 10, for the land is full of adulterers. The land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. The pastures are this is a pasture where God's children feed. The sheep feed. A church should be a pasture where the sheep feed on the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that's going to change your life. Words of men are zero. Like what Brother Oliver said, if I go into church and there's no word, either I don't come back, probably I don't leave, but I won't come back. Verse 14, and among the prophets of Jerusalem, that's the church, I have seen a horrible thing, the committing of adultery and walking in falsehood, and they've strengthened the hands of evildoers. And the way they do that is they don't deal with people's sin, so that no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I'm going to feed them with wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, for from the prophets of Jerusalem pollution has gone forth into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you in futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, that's those who pretend obedience, those who exalt themselves. The Lord has said, you will have peace, and as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. The other day I read on the Elijah list of a prophet man who's real well known in Texas, and he talked about that God's raising up a highway and the sinners can get on it. And I emailed him and I said, that is a false prophecy. because God says no fool, no lion, nor no unclean person can walk the highway of holiness. And he emailed me back and he said, you just don't have an understanding. And he said, perhaps when they get on it, they'll change. That's what he said. He said, I'm taking you off my mailing list. And I emailed him back. And I said, I don't think I'm on your email list. But what you're saying is wrong and you're leading many people astray. There are people that follow after this man. You would not believe how many people follow after him. And he's into Kabbalah. No, I don't want to say who it is. But what I'm saying is, you know what? Take the names of your favorite prophets and pull them up on the internet, and you'll see most of them are either into Kabbalah, they're into Knights of Malta, and that is an organization that is an occult organization. Then look up the Knights of Malta. Don't take my word for it. Get the background on them. And you'll see, and I know there's stuff that you pull up that may not be right, but you just kind of go through it, and you can, and listen to the ones that can kind of prove what they're saying. And they'll tell you this came right out of the Kabbalah. Okay, keep reading. It says, they say calamity will not come upon you, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and I want you to hear this, that he should see and hear his word. Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days you will clearly understand. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. Now this is what I want you to hear. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have answered, they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their sin and from the evil of their deeds. If you're in a meeting and people are not being turned back from their sin, get out of there. Because every prophet in the Word of God taught repentance. And there was not one popular one in the Bible. And beware when they call themselves a prophet and they're popular. Okay. The harlot said, will be forgotten. Isaiah 23:16. She has a price. And you know you have a price if you can be bought off. In other words, if you were facing a firing squad, would you make a deal with them? That's a good question to ask yourself, because we may have to stand in these days in front of a firing squad. Or worse yet, torture. The harlot has many lovers, Jeremiah 3:1. She trusts in her own beauty and importance, Ezekiel 16:15. She's not satisfied. Moreover, she played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. You even played the harlot with them and were not satisfied. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 that godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And if you're dissatisfied, you're not contented. And if you're not contented, your godliness is not a means of gain. Because contentment proves that you are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus. Amen? There was a time in my life when I could say, when I read that, I'd feel convicted. I'd think, I'm not contented. I'm not satisfied. But hallelujah, today I am so satisfied. I am so contented. Because Jesus is the Lord, and He's teaching me. When I said, Lord, I don't know when I'm fretting, it's been the greatest liberation. I know that was the root to my digestion problems. It's been so liberating, because He'll say, Jerry, He'll say, you're fretting, I'll take care of it. Okay, oh, thank you, Lord. A harlot wastes her wealth. She sells nations and families with her harlotries, Nahum 3:4. She wastes her wealth, Proverbs 29:3. She bribes and pays her lovers, Ezekiel 16:33. She says, no one will see me, no one's going to know what I'm doing. She flatters with her words, Proverbs 2:16. She exhilarates, Proverbs 5:20. Her lips drip honey and she has a smooth tongue, Proverbs 5:3. The lips of an adulteress drip honey and smoother than oil is her speech. She flatters with words, Proverbs 7:5. She destroys her victims, Proverbs 6:32. She's boisterous, Proverbs 9:13. The woman of folly is boisterous. Murmur, growl, roar, that's what that means. She is naive and knows nothing. She'll not take accountability for her sin. She's been known to shift the blame. Proverbs 30:20. This is the way of the adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I haven't done anything wrong. You know anybody like that? Have you been like that? You need to take accountability. She's more bitter than death, and her heart is snares and nets, and her hands are chains. She captures sinners. Ecclesiastes 7:20. And here's a warning. 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, you join yourself with a harlot and you become one with her. And then she has no wedding clothes, and we're admonished in Revelation 22:14, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter to the gates of the city. So what are we to do? Matthew 25 says, when you see a stranger in speaking of the sheep and the goats, when Jesus said, even if you've done it to the least of men, you've done it unto me. And then he rebukes the goats because they didn't clothe the naked. They didn't feed the hungry. When they saw a stranger, they didn't invite him in. They saw people naked and they didn't clothe them. Verse 43, I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And so we have a choice to put it on. Job 29:14, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. Colossians 3:1. Turn there, please. It says, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand. It's not a one-time seeking, it's an everyday seeking. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you lay aside the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all in all. And so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, stand up and let's ask God to show you any sin, and then we're going to ask God to clothe you with the good things, and then we're going to tell the bad things to go. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for not covering me with love. And Lord, would you search my heart and test my thoughts and show me everything that I need to repent of. And Lord, so that I can be clothed with all of these wonderful things. In the Spirit, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for committing adultery against you, my bridegroom. Forgive me for everything you've shown me. Forgive me for thinking I'm absolutely abounding in Christian virtue and eternal possessions. Absolutely abounding in virtue and eternal possessions and being miserable, blind, poor, naked. God, I ask you to forgive me for not dying to myself, not being willing to take up my cross and follow you, so that I can buy from you gold refined by fire, white raiment, and eye salve to anoint my eyes. God, I ask you to forgive me for my sin that would keep me from being clothed with you, would keep me from holy attire, choice attire, holy array, bridal attire, white robes, white garments, wedding clothes, humility, readiness, eminence, dignity, fine linen, clothed from on high, righteousness, scarlet and purple, clothed with our dwelling from on high, clothed with salvation, embroidered cloth, beautiful garments. God, forgive me for spiritual adultery, being a glutton and a heavy drinker that would clothe me with drowsiness, bring me to poverty, and clothe me with rags. Forgive me for spiritual adultery. Forgive me for sexual sin. Forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments. Forgive me for drunkenness and making my neighbors drunk. I forgive anyone who's put me or my forefathers through satanic rituals. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I renounce every satanic ritual. I break soul ties with all of my forefathers and anyone who's put me or them through satanic rituals. God, forgive me for hunting lies, multiplying my harlotries, defiling myself with idols, forgetting you and casting you behind my back, being naked and bare, and the mistress of sorceries. Forgive me for harlotry, being cunning and seductive, and being a deep pit in a narrow well, and my mouth to be a deep pit. Forgive me for being full of murder and injustice and no faithfulness, which would cause me to be forgotten. Forgive me, I can be bought off. Lord, forgive me for having many lovers, trusting in my own beauty and importance, not being satisfied, having a bold face and a languishing heart, acting shamefully, producing double fruit, thinking nobody's going to see me, flattering with words, and refuse to take accountability. Lord, forgive me for joining myself with a harlot to become one with her, which would cause me to lose my wedding clothes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I put on righteousness. Garments of filthy garments, I command you to go. Attire of harlot, go. Foreign garments, I command you to go. Clothed with trembling, go. All spirit of rags clothing, leave. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to clothe each person here who's prayed these prayers and who's repented with beautiful garments. Clothe them and lift your hands. I want you to receive this. Beautiful garments, Lord, I receive. Embroidery cloth, Lord, I ask you to release that. Salvation. Clothe them with their dwelling on high. Scarlet and purple and righteousness and power from on high. Clothe them with fine linen. Clothe them with eminence and dignity. Clothe them with readiness and humility and wedding clothes and white robes and white raiments and bridal attire and holy array and choice attire and holy attire and clothe them with you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to open the windows of heaven and bring down your covering. Cover them with your love because they love you, Lord. And I want you to say, Lord, I receive these things. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Praise you, Lord. We're covered with love. Thank you that your banner over us is love. Thank you for the beautiful garments, Lord, that you've given your children. Thank you so much, and I love you all so much. I love this camp, and I hope to see you at next camp. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.